If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Believe in God to touch you, minister tonight in this house. Amen. Just going to read verse 23. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 23. And Jesus said to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us tonight and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, if you can only believe. Amen. Amen. Jesus made this statement to the man, said, if you can only believe, all things are possible to them that believeth. Amen. You know, people used to ask me, Brother Ken, when do you believe were the days of miracles? And you know, there's never really been a day, an era, or a generation of miracles as far as I can tell from studying the Word of God. You know, God is a miracle. You ever notice God never tried to explain who he was? Said just in the beginning, God. When Moses was going down to talk to Pharaoh, he said, what I tell him? He said, just tell him I am sent you. You know, after that theological lesson he got about God, I bet you if he went to Pharaoh, he could tell you who I am was. Glory. Amen. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about God. I mean, let's face it. There's been a miracle. Said in the beginning, God. He was all-encompassing, nothing else but him. And he said, let there be. And everything started coming into existence. Amen. Boy, that's awesome. I don't know how you figured that wasn't a miracle. There was nothing, and he made everything out of it. Come on, church. Some of y'all looking at me like y'all said, wait a minute, preacher. No, there was nothing. God took nothing, made everything out of it, hung it on nothing, told it to stay there. Glory. Amen. And you know, that's the awesomeness of God. Amen. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. So therefore, if he was a miraculous God in the beginning, he's still a miraculous God today. Amen. My Bible tells me that in him there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. You know what that means? He doesn't even act like he's going to be different. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that God that spoke the world into existence back then is the same God I'm serving right now, who has the ability to speak into my life anything he wishes to put in my life. And I have a right to believe that my God is able to do everything I need him to do. Could you say amen? Glory. I don't have to be like some people who don't trust God and don't think about what God can do. Matthew 6 and 8, and this is not something I gave you back there, but it said, be not therefore like unto them, for your fathers knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You know what it said? God already knows what you got need of. Amen. He goes on, the 32nd verse, say, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The key is not for me to sit around just trying to figure out what I want. The key is to seek God. And when I get enough of God, God will provide my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? Why? Because he already knows what I have need of. Amen. Well, preacher, that's important, but you know what? You really got to find the place where you can really get a hold to God. But notice this. Amen. He said, but without faith, without being able to believe, without the very base element of what you've got to have to touch God, without faith, he said, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and then also believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if we do that, then we can believe that our God is able. I had people tell me, I wish I could live in day Bible miracles. When was that? I understand one group of people said miracles ceased in 64 AD. I feel sorry for them. Amen. I remember one time one of them was on the radio, and he'd get people on the radio. And if you ever get in a debate with one of these type people, what they want to do is get you talking about everything but what you want to talk about, and then come back to that subject. They got your mind off of it. And, you know, he was really having a good time with a lot of folks. They'd call in. He'd get them all messed up, and then he'd bring them back. And he'd have them just about agreeing with him time he got them off the phone because they'd be so upset about everything he talked about. I called him one day, and I said, I just want to know, are you telling me that the God that tore down the walls of Jericho couldn't tear down the walls of some city if he needed to right now? He said, well, you know, that God doesn't do that anymore. I said, didn't ask you that. I said, could he do it if he wanted to? He said, well, I suppose he could. I said, could he make a boat float in the middle of a flood? He said, well, I think so. He said, let's talk about it. I said, no, let's just stick with this round of run. I think we're doing real good. I said, could the God that spoke the world in existence, could he speak and create something without nothing anyway? He said, well, I guess he could. I said, we see the truth of the matter is, sir, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He meant God can do everything he's already done. And since he's a God that don't change, he still wants to do that. And if we'd start believing, he'd still do it. And I said, though you think it stopped 64 AD, I believe he is God right now. His power is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And my God can do it. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, what's the significance of 64 AD? See, that's the stupidity of his teaching. He believes that when John died, all miracles ceased because all the disciples had died. Hello? Can you imagine how dumb that was? John living there. He's come back in the Isle of Patmos. He's anointed and appointed. He's wrote a best-selling book called the Book of Revelation. He's at his house praying for people, and they're getting healed. And then all of a sudden, he gets sick. And you got to hurry up and get to his house because he's dying. And then all of a sudden, the guy walks out and says, well, go home. No more miracles. John's dead. Glory. Some of y'all going, well, preacher, that's stupid. Well, that's just what that teaches. See, if John been the one doing the miracles, then that would have been true. But John wasn't the one doing the miracles. The one doing the miracles is still alive. He's still on the throne. He still has the power and the grace and the glory to do everything the Word of God said he could do. Could you say amen? Glory. You say, preacher, you believe that? Listen, he said all things are possible. What's meant by all things? Matthew 21, 22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Glory. 2 Peter 1, 3. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 1 John 5, 14. And this is our confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 3, 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Well, preacher, I want all things. Well, you notice there's a little limitations in there. When you put the scripture together, don't just say you can name it and claim it like some people want to teach. You know, I had a guy told one time, said, I can claim your car. I said, go ahead. I'll give it to you. You make the payments. Glory. Hello? You claim my car you want to. Don't mean God's going to give it to you. Because notice what he said. When we pray, there are conditions. There are restrictions. He said, first of all, you got to keep his commandments and be pleasing in his sight. Secondly, you got to pray according to his will. Hello? See? Listen, the restrictions is what you ask. John 15 and 7, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be given unto you. The condition, if his word is in you and you're in him and in his word, then you're not going to pray for something that the word of God doesn't want you to have. Hello? Come on, church, that's good preaching. Some of y'all, well, wait a minute. Amen. See, that's what we've got to real. We must pray according to the revealed word that is in us. The reason we ask and don't receive is because the Bible said we ask amiss. We ask for things we don't need, and God knows what we don't need, and so he won't give it to us. I've been trying to be a millionaire all my life. God knows if I got to be a millionaire, I might not need to rely on him so much. So he keeps me broke. Hello? Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all say, I'm a millionaire. I told somebody this morning, I'm working on my fourth million. Gave up on the first three. Glory. Never got close. Listen, if I ask for personal favors contrary to his will, contrary to his word, then it ain't going to happen. If I say anything in his word is for you today, it is for you. That's his promise. And somebody told me one day, said, there are 32,000 promises in the Word of God, and all of them's mine.
Y'all see anything wrong with that? See, some of y'all think there's 100,000 because that used to be the big thing in the church. Oh, there's 100,000 promises. You know, we used to testify and say stuff that wasn't biblical because somebody said it sounded good. We'd quote it. Come on, church, smile at me. What's wrong with 32,000 promises being in the Bible? 31,373 scriptures and verses. So therefore, if every one of them was a promise, you still ain't got 32,000. Come on, church, smile at me. But can I tell you, every promise in the Bible ain't for you. God told Joshua, you take the children of Israel and you walk around Jericho, you do it one time every day for 6 days, 7 times on the last day, that's 13 times. And then you shout on the last time, I'm going to knock the wall down. He didn't tell me that. So I go out there and walk around that wall all I want to and yell, and it don't mean it's going to fall. Come on, church. God told Peter, get out of the boat and walk. Now, if I'd been one of them guys in the boat, I could have got out and walked because he didn't specify Peter. He just said, come. Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Rest of them stood there and watched. But God ain't told me to get out of no boat and walk on no water. So if I do it, I'm going to be doing it without God telling me and without a promise. And I better hope I can swim. Hello? Come on, church. That's pretty good stuff. So what are you talking about? Every promise God made, some of them were specific needs at a specific time, got nothing to do with me. That doesn't mean God can't speak into me a specific promise for this day that's got something that God's going to do for me. Could you say amen? Listen, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. What's that say? It said all are in him, yes, and all are in him, so let it be. Another scripture, in case you think there are more promises in the Bible than not, Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. The God I know can do it. Hello? Why don't we receive more of God's promises today? Lack of faith. God can still do it. I hear Genesis in Genesis chapter 18, 14. The question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? I hear Jeremiah answer it in Jeremiah 32:17 when he answers this, there is nothing too hard for thee. Hallelujah. So what are you talking about? I believe the word of God bears to us, there is nothing my God cannot do. There is nothing my God cannot perform. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Then I understand the question is not whether or not God has the power or the ability. The question is whether I have the power to believe that my God can do what the word of God says he can do. He said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I would ask or think. His power ability is not in question. His ability to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we ask or think. Everybody stops. They read it. Oh, he'll do exceedingly abundantly and above all that I ask or think. And we stop. That's not all the scripture. The last sentence of that scripture is important. He says, according to the power that worketh in you. What did he say? He said, well, I can do everything you think as long as you believe I can do what you think I can do. God said, I can heal if you believe I can heal. Say, well, now, preacher, you're trying to tell me God ain't able to do these things? God worked in both you to will and do of his own good pleasure. That's what the word of God says. When Jesus went back to his hometown, though, he had a problem. You ever notice what he said in Matthew 13:58? He said, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He went back wanting to do miracles right in his hometown, but he couldn't because nobody believed he could do it. Hello? Some would have you that when God came to the earth, he lost everything. Had a guy say, oh, yeah, he was stripped of all his deity. No, he wasn't. He was God in the flesh, but he was still God. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. If he was God, then that makes him not my example. Yeah, it does. See, I can't explain a lot of things about the word of God. I don't even try. Hello? I don't know how God got there in the beginning. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I just know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hello? Come on, church.
There's a lot of things in this world I can't explain. I don't know how a black cow eats green grass, gives white milk, but I sure love it. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Smile at me. Some of y'all sitting there said, that preacher's stupid. No, I'm not. There's a lot of things you can't explain. I don't know how a virgin could have a child, but I believe the Word of God bears out the fact that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and I believe that he doesn't have an earthly father. He has a heavenly father, and the bloodline come through the heavenly father, and that's what made his blood pure and without sin and without spot and without blemish so that he could be the miraculous lamb that could pay the price for my sin and give me everlasting life. And because of that, I may not can explain it, but I believe it, and because of that, I walked into an altar one night, a drug addict, alcoholic. I came out when my life changed, and I want to tell you something. The devil may tell me a lot of things ain't true, but he can't take me past the night. I know that I know that I know Jesus came into my life. Could you say amen? Glory. I believe he was the Son of God while he was on the face of this earth. I believe he was the seed of a woman. Hello? I believe he was the child of God. And I believe he took stripes on his back, that by those stripes we can be healed. Glory. Listen, the plague today with unbelieving believers. Hello? People say they believe, but they really don't. What do I mean by unbelieving believers? Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Hello? Let me ask something, church. You ever heard this? Boy, if I seen God do a miracle, I believe. I seen a boatload of them watching feed 5,000 men and their families with a couple of sardines and some biscuits. It's my story. I know it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but it was sardines and biscuits where I come from. Glory. If you ever eat their bread, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's unleavened. So it ain't going to taste like what you get. When they call a loaf, ain't about that thick because it's flat. We call it flat bread. Amen. It don't rise. They don't use leavened bread because they don't think it's good for you. Hello? They got some kid over there with 5 pieces of flatbread and a couple of sardines, and they see that miracle, and they get in a boat, and yet they don't believe it's him when he comes walking on the water. Huh? They think they're all fixing to die. Some ghost is out there walking around ready to take them down to the bottom of the sea and bury them in a locker. They're scared to death. And Jesus said, "Fear not. It is I." And yet 11 of them still didn't believe it was him, wouldn't get out of the boat. One by one of them had enough gumption to jump out of the boat. And he goes walking on the water, and then what happened to him? He got to realize he wasn't supposed to be doing it and started sinking. Hello? I think he learned more about the second time he walked on water than he ever learned about the first one. First one, he just did it because it was there. Y'all ever done stuff and then after you done it thought, well, you know, if I thought about that, I don't believe I'd done that. Peter's walking on that water, and I believe he was sitting there going, you know, if I thought about this, I'd stay in that boat. And next thing you know, he's going down. But how'd he get back to the boat? The Bible didn't say Jesus picked him up and told him. He said, take him by the hand, he'd come back on top of the water and walk back to the boat. That second walk taught him how more about God and his power than he ever learned jumping out of the boat to start with. Come on, church. That second walk is probably what put him in the wilderness after he denied Christ and let him pray through so he'd stand up on the side of a tree one day and say, hey, out on the side of the street saying, hey, that Jesus Christ whom you crucified is the one who has arisen and who has sent us the power of his grace and his anointing, and 3,000 souls came to know him. That second walk is what made Peter the man of God that was willing to be crucified upside down. That second walk is what gave him the faith to believe, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all. In church, some of us need to get out of the boat and take a walk on the water and let God teach us who he really is. Whoa. After the resurrection, Jesus upbraided them, told them they needed to believe. But we've been dealing with unbelieving believers for years. I mean, you know, they sent the scouts into the promised land. 10 of them come back going, hey, guys, there's some great stuff over there. But there's some stuff they ain't told us about. There's some dudes over there that are 13, 14 foot high. There's something bigger than them. One of them said, man, I believe I'm about ankle high on one of them. And the corn sure does taste good over here, so why don't we just stay here and not go over there? Isn't that where a lot of folks in the church are? You're on the other side of Jordan eating corn, taking it easy. You're afraid to step into the promises of God because you're afraid of what's on the other side of the river. I hear one of them going, hey, guys, they got a city over there. Ain't no way we can take the place without taking that city. Ain't nobody ever took it before. The walls are so thick, they race chariots on the top of it. Ain't no way we could scale it, get across it, and take it. What are we going to do? Here comes Joshua. He walks up and says, guys, why ain't we loading up the mules and the camels? Why ain't we getting ready to cross the river? The promises are on the other side of the river. They're not over here. And they're going, look, you ain't saw what we saw. There's a city. We can't get in it. He said, I slept there last night. And God showed me a way to take the city this morning. Aren't you glad he didn't bother to divulge the battle plan until he got them over by the city? Can you imagine what that said? We're going to march around it 13 times and shout, and it's just going to fall down. Can you imagine how they felt walking around that city and the guys on the walls laughing at them going, what? Y'all think I'm just going to walk around here and yell and it's going to fall? But what happened? When they were obedient to the word of God, the walls came down. Come on, church. But let me show you something about Joshua some of y'all may not really know. He gets ready to quit fighting. And he says, I'm 85 years old. I ain't fighting no more. And all of a sudden, his buddy turns around and says, well, what about them mountains over there? There's all kind of stuff in them mountains. He said, yeah, there's some giants over there too. And I'm too old. Hello? Some of y'all looking at me like, well, preacher, I've heard some of y'all. I'm too old to do that. Blowney. I learned bus ministry from an 85-year-old woman like to wore me out. She brought 160-something people a week into that church. Brother Hall said, you need to go over there and learn something. That woman liked to kill me. She was wide open. She was 85 years old and brought in 160-something people a week. And she worked them buses like a teenager. Amen. Come on, church. Why? Because she was like Caleb. I'm 85 years old, too. That's what he told Joshua. He said, I'm the same age as you, but I'm finna go take them mountains. And you can sit around and watch, but I'm finna go get them promises over yonder that ain't God. And some of you been hanging on, waiting on God to do something in your life, and you sit down there going, well, I've been fighting this long. I believe I'll just be happy with what I got, and I'm just gonna give up and hang on and just hope I can make it. But can I tell you, it's time some of you made up your mind what's in them mountains is important enough. I'm gonna go get something out of the mountain. I'm gonna go get a hold of a promise I've been looking for. Come on, church. Say, preacher, do you believe that? He said, all things are possible. All he's promised according to his will. When you abide in him, when his word abides in you, when you believe according to his word, all things are possible. It's an old song, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Reach out and touch the Lord. In our text, we got a guy whose son is struck. He needs help. God said, if thou canst but believe, all things are possible unto them that believeth. Straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me, my unbelief. Lord, help me with my unbelief. You say, preacher, what happened? He got healed. The kid got touched. We've got to have faith, or it ain't going to happen. You know, I don't think it's an accident that faith is the only gift to the Spirit that's also a fruit of the Spirit. Because God understood we've got to have faith to be an overcomer. And if we can but believe, all things are possible. Church, I've lived where miracles wasn't something I believed in. I had to have them. Hello? I've been in some places that I know if God hadn't been with me, I wouldn't have got out. I've done some things that when it was all over with, I'd actually look at myself in the mirror going, "You dummy. Why did you ever get in the middle of that?" But I did it because I did it thinking this is what I need to do. And I got a God that brought me out of it because he wanted to keep me around to do some other things. But it all boils down to believing that God can do it. That God is able. You see, when we receive from God, it's not a matter. We're not questioning whether or not God can do it. The question is, can you believe God can do it? God can do it. He has all power, which is in heaven and in earth. Nothing is he subject to. No natural law. He can heal cancer. Come on, church. I see some of you got your feet in the mud already. Well, I just don't know about that. That's what's wrong with us. We don't know about that. He can heal cancer. He can heal heart disease. I'm not telling you something I think. I'm telling you something I know. Well, preacher, you've had cancer. Yeah. I'm still here, ain't I? Huh? I got here because of cancer. I laid the law down. I said, "Okay, God, you want me to preach? Heal my mama." She was given 6 months to live. 31 years later, she's still cancer-free. Ain't got no choice but preach now. That's the only way I can get to heaven. He kept his side of the bargain. Northport Church of God. A close friend of mine, heart problems. He's got to have open heart surgery, and at the time he was 30-something years old. They told him without the open heart surgery, he might not live, and even with the surgery, he might not live. Heart conditions run in his family. He comes up to UAB because he's going to come up here to have the surgery. I'll never forget that Sunday night I'm preaching at Northport. He comes walking in, picks up the bass guitar to play it. I walked by and said, "What's going on?" He said, "I grew a bypass. They want to study me at UAB to find out how it happened. But I grew a bypass." Hello? Some of y'all said, "Well, now, preacher, hey, he sells cars at Chevrolet Place, Tuscaloosa, right now." Amen. He said, "What are you talking about?" He's still kicking. He doesn't have heart problems. Hello? I mean, he had a business. He had a heart attack, and they thought he was going to die before they got him to the hospital. They told him, he said, "You got to have this done." He couldn't even work because they're afraid he's going to die. He grew a bypass. Glory. "Well, preacher, that's a one-time gig." No, it's not. Y'all heard me tell the story of the lady in South Georgia. She had to have surgery. They told her they didn't even know she'd make it through the heart surgery. We're riding from Waycross, Georgia. Now, that's Waycross on the other side. I'm serious. And we left there, drove all the way to Atlanta because that was where they had to take her because they felt like Emory University was the only chance she had. And all the way up there, we riding with a husband who makes moonshine for a living. I don't even know the man's name. And he had called me and talked to me. And he sent us money because God told him to. And I know it had to be God because everybody down there tell you that he ain't giving money away unless God tells him. He don't know God. But we get to church and he walks in and he walked up to his wife's bed and he said, "Honey, you know I love my shine. But God spoke to me on the way up here and said, if me and Mike over here get right, he'd heal you." And he said, "I love you more than I do to shine." That's how Hoot Smith became a Christian. He prayed through at Emory University that night. And the next morning, they come back in there going, "She'd grown a bypass." 2 nights later, she was dancing an aisle at the Waycross Church of God. Revival broke out, and they ended up having to stay there another week. Glory. Why? Because we got a God that can do it if we can but believe. All things are possible to them that believe. According to his will. According to his word. Stand with me all over the house. We don't know why things happened, but we do know this. God is able to turn any situation around if we believe. Somebody said, "Preacher, I believe," but you got to understand. According to his will. Sometimes God's will is opposite of our will. I want to live, but if time comes for me to move on, I don't want to miss the opportunity. Earl Hall had cancer. They were praying for him to get healed, and he just kept lingering on. Finally, one day, he looked at his family and he said, "Would y'all quit praying? It's obvious God's not going to heal me. I've been trying to get this place for nearly 30 years. Let me go." He honestly believed that his wife, his son, and a couple others had the ability to just keep hanging him on when God was trying to take him. And he said, "If y'all just quit, I can go on." You know, it's amazing. They quit praying. 2 days later, he died. But he went to the place he'd been trying to get to ever since he got saved. Church, what you got to realize is God doesn't look at death the way we do. We look at it as loss. He look at it as gain. We lose something, but he gains something. And the truth of the matter is we gain when we lose. Brother E.V. Hill preached at his wife's funeral. Said he was down praying for his wife and said he was praying for a baby, and that's what he called his wife. And he said he's praying. God spoke to him and said, "Heal. It's going to be okay." He said, "I got up praising God because he's going to heal baby." God said, "I'm not going to heal her." He said, "God, what is there to trust if you're not going to heal her?" He said, "Trust that I know better what baby needs than you do. And if you think baby's something down there, wait till you see her over here." Glory. Hello? We've got to get back to that place we believe, church. And if we can but believe, all things are possible. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, you said it's not by might nor by power, by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend into your hand this congregation, this group of people. Minister to us with your glory tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, have your way.